putting people to another episode of Everybody Loves Pudding. We are your hosts, Richard Geiger and Ken Seymour, back again for season 8.
Wow. Wowie wee wow. Yeah. Been apart for such a long time. It just feels super to be back together.
Yes, it does. I don't know why, but I feel like I'm floating. It's just an exciting feeling. But obviously it's been a little while. We took a little break, gave ourselves a little bit of a chance to recover from the trials and tribulations of life. And we wanted to make sure that we would come back with new vim and vigor and be able to give you a whole new type of podcast. And we're going to give you a half new type of podcast.
We're just getting the vocal cords warmed up right now. That's all. And you know what? In today's world, the long form recording loses people's attention. So
yeah,
let's just speed it up a bit. That's all.
We're going to see if we can truncate it. Our podcast should not be the same length as the film, possibly not even half the length of the film. So we're going to see what we're going to do. As always, we're going to use our semi-scientific method of going over a film and grading it like it's some school kid's essay on why Thanksgiving is the way that it is. We'll give it an up to 100-point score, as low as a 0 points, and then we'll talk a little bit about why. We'll give a spoiler-free kind of a thing, and then we'll just cover the big points that we felt were important.
Yeah. I mean, that's fair.
Yeah. So, all right. This just feels so weird that it's backwards. All right. So, you know, on our scale of 1 to 100, starting into the non-spoiler side of things, I really enjoyed this film. I thought it was a great start. I thought it was definitely one of those that's worth watching in the theater if you can possibly do so. I gave it an 88. What about you, Richard?
I think I have the same kind of idea as well, if you have the availability to do it. You know, around here it's AMC theaters and they always have discounts on like Tuesdays where it's like $5 to go watch a movie. It's worth spending the $5 for sure to see this on a big screen.
Yeah.
And my score overall was an 81.
Yeah. Now, obviously, we break that down into a bunch of different subcategories. Cast, director, costuming and props, location, score, cinematography, plot and writing, bonus. But we're not going to go point by point anymore because that takes a while. But I'll tell you what, it seems like, I mean, we were talking about this a little bit for the last little while. One of the things that seems like we keep touching on over and over again is how impressed, even though this is Superman, it's not just Superman, right?
Yeah, I think in the past when we've seen things from the DC, you know, the family of things, you're sticking with the traditional main line of characters. You're having a couple main characters in the story and you're presented with a couple of main characters. And that's about it. Superman, it's always been Superman and Lois Lane, Ma and Pa Kent, and Jimmy Olsen. And like that's it. Like that's what the whole thing has. It's like almost always that same thing. Then you throw in a Lex Luthor and the end.
Yep.
Right. So this time around, and I think going forward, we're going to see more of the body of heroes and you know, villains as well. And I think the MCU showed us that you can go overboard on that and not put the faces in place to have them, you know, be known or give them any backstory. You don't always need backstory, but you need some type of investment and involvement. James Gunn has done shows that have had 10, 15 characters in them and has been presenting everything well. So this time around we got, you know, a Mr. Terrific. I mean, come on, man. Like, that's super cool.
Yeah, I have to admit, a lot of people really kind of felt that, you know, I kept hearing Mr. Terrific stole the show. He was the best part of the film. But then I'd also hear it's like, yeah, but the best part of the film was actually the Green Lantern character. Or the best part of the film was, wow, they did Lex Luthor the way they thought Lex Luthor should have been done. And it's just you get so much more fullness, because Superman by himself can feel empty a little bit. Having all of this stuff around them, all the stuff that's already been going around, just makes it feel like we are in the middle of it. We just picked up a comic book off of the newsstand and we are in the middle of it. We didn't know what happened in the previous issues. We may have heard about it. A friend told us, like, check out this book. But we're just right dumped into the middle of the action, and we don't necessarily know what's going on. Don't need to. And there's already a bunch of really cool characters to latch onto and find cool.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Batman thing, too. Like, we don't need to know about the alley behind the movie theater. We don't need to know about the cornfield where the spaceship landed. It's cool. We got you. We already know that. And you got a universe where the meta-human is available, but the team of the big dogs is not. So I'm cool with that.
The thing that really, really got me is everybody got a chance to shine a little bit. And that's kind of hard to do in a 2-hour film. That scene where Mr. Terrific takes on the base, actually really getting to see what the spheres can do, that was super cool.
Yep, very good. You know, we talk about cinematography a lot, and there's a lot of, it's like one continual shot, right, as it mm-hmm. revolves and swings around, and then you have the soundtrack, and then it switches from thing to thing, and there's a little bit of humor in it. There's like the athleticism, there's the control, and I just love her, Lois Lane's reaction to it yeah. as it's happening around her. So very cool.
Oh, and the Lois Lane character, by that same dint, a lot of times Lois can be just she's there to be saved, or part of her personality is just to be annoying, and you don't get the side of it, which is, no, it's not that she's annoying, it's that she is good at her job and she is extraordinarily serious about it, and she will make points that are potentially uncomfortable to think about if you haven't thought about some of the permutations of what's going on around you. I really love how they represented that as well.
Yeah, have her be more than just the love interest, if you will want to call it that, more than just the coworker. Like, have her be professional, strong, good at her job. Is her in the comic book stories? Is her dad, and like, is she an army brat?
Oh yeah.
Okay, so like, I'm wondering if they're going to explore a little bit more of that aspect of it as well.
That could be a lot of fun. I mean, they definitely got the start right on the Green Lanterns. I thought that their take on this particular Green Lantern is fantastic. And we're going to be expecting, you know, the new Green Lantern show to be coming out not too far from now. And Nathan Fillion just nailed Guy Gardner. That was so much fun.
And, you know, one aspect I think that is underrated in this is, of course, he's like that overly confident character, but he truly believes that he is as equally as powerful, if not more powerful, than Superman, which you get two aspects of, well, that's the confidence mm-hmm. from the Green Lantern, but that's not really knowing, because nobody really knows how truly powerful that Superman character is yet, because he's only been a hero for, as we established, you know, a short period of time. in this world.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite parts. I remember from, you know, the Death of Superman storyline, you know, you get Doomsday escape, and who's going to stop him? Well, the Justice League will. And, you know, who runs out to be the first one to confront Doomsday? Well, that's Guy Gardner, and he gets his butt handed to him hard and fast. I can take on anything. No, you can't. But that's okay. We love you anyway.
Yes. Yeah. And I'm in the same position with you, where I can't wait for a truly well represented Green Lantern faction, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, not just individual characters, but like, give us the TV show that's, I guess, the murder mystery investigation thing locally on Earth, but give us the outer space stuff, man. Like, give it your all, because this would be a great pathway to go down.
And they've already started to kind of give that whole bit of personality that is so cool about being a Green Lantern in the first place. It's all how your personality comes through in your constructs. And, you know, he's just such a jerk. You know, the fight with the giant army and destroying the tanks with giant hands turning into middle fingers, it makes me giggle every time I see it. But it's like, but that's just the beginning. It's like, oh, if they maintain that, I cannot wait to see how they do Jon Stewart. I cannot wait to see how they do Kyle Rayner, because they're so different in how they approach things. It gives me such hope.
Exactly. These are unique constructs per character.
And how surprising was it to see Metamorpho show up in this?
Well, it's another one of those characters that is just, it's great, because it's a Justice League character, but like, it's not one that's ever in the forefront of your thought process, right? It's I think people would even think like Plastic Man. Yeah, I would think people would know that character more.
Oh, right? Yeah, definitely.
So this particular character is not obscure, but he's like low on the totem pole, right?
Right.
And it's once again cool to see with no explanation, he can do this. The end. Okay, that's fine. That's all we need.
I just thought it was kind of funny watching the previews before the film came out, and I saw just the one frame with him in it. It's like, oh, they're going to put a little Easter egg with Metamorpho, and it's like, that's cool, a little nod to the fans. It's like, what? He has speaking lines? They let him do things? No.
And I love the end, too, when they're talking about it's the Justice Gang, and you know, he's like, I'm a warden. This guy's not going to be in the Justice Gang. And he's like, oh, the Justice Gang, that's a good name. And then all of a sudden he's like,
all right, you're in.
Yeah. I think you'll fit in.
Oh man. Yeah. I've got so many comics, with Metamorpho in it. And I always think, it's like, oh, you know, that'd be neat to see. They're never going to put him in a film. So, I mean, it's just kind of, what do you think when you see this film about the future of the DC universe going forward? Do you think this kind of set the tone for the whole thing, or are they going to allow, you know, the directors to kind of have their own impact, or is it because they let James Gunn have his kind of control on this, they're going to let other directors also have their kind of impact on the universe as it stands?
Well, I think James Gunn will control the universe, and he will have the control in terms of how he wants the universe represented, right? Because he has a more, from what you can put on screen, a more comic accurate knowledge base for a lot of these things. And that's something you could touch on better than I can. But, you know, I think as of this recording, it globally just passed like, what, 600 million? Yeah. And I'm guessing I would say that's a success. I don't know what they measure that now, because, you know, if you're a Spider-Man movie and you don't hit $1 billion, then you failed, right? So
right.
is 600 million good? I'm sure the budget for this thing was like 200 million or just a hair under. Then you throw in the marketing and all that stuff and it's going to double. So you're at 400 million. But you still then made 200 million on the movie. So like that's profitable if the numbers pan out.
Very, yeah.
And if that is actually, you know, if that's actually the case, and this is the beginning, and people get more comfortable with it, and people spend more money and recognize more things, if this is like the low bar of what we are to see over the course of the next 10 years, then, man, cool, great. I want more success from the DC stuff. I want X-Men in the MCU, and I want amazing Batman stories and Justice League stories in the DC stuff. So I'm hoping we've set a good precedent with this movie.
Well, that's the thing that I was both kind of really happy, but also sad at the same time, you know, when he took over the DC side of things, like, oh, well, that means the MCU's not going to be able to take advantage of James Gunn's kind of perspective, because he did such a great job with the whole Guardian series. Everything he touched, he was able to bring in this balance of humor, but also character development. And he's always able to have those emotional moments that you don't always think about. And a lot of times, if you go see, like, you go see Black Adam, that there was no real emotional moment in Black Adam, you know, something like that. And they tried, it didn't work. Now, obviously, this is opinion. You know, there are some people that will feel that way, but I believe that the box office and the ratings show that more people connected with how the characters were used in Superman than in something like that. And it just feels like he understands how to make people more feel more relatable. Did you see the behind the scenes snippet that came out where he's talking, James Gunn is talking to David Cornsweet about the scene where he's making a speech to Lex Luthor about why he's more human and what he understands, and their difference of where they were coming from at that point and how they get to where they need to be.
Yeah. And if you watch it, it's an argument, but like not
right.
Because you can tell that both sides are heated personally, not antagonist heated, right?
Right.
About what their thought process is. I mean, ultimately, the director is the one who's going to win out in those things. But you could see, at least in that, it was, this is how we want to present this character, right? And if you're going to fight for your presentation from both ends and meld it together to make what you think is going to be the best of that presentation, they care.
Right.
That's all we really want, right? Is you care about what you're presenting to people and care about what it means when you're presenting this stuff, and the rest will fall into place.
Yeah. It's clear that Cornsweet is really interested in giving that kind of an authentic performance and wants to understand the character so that it doesn't, you know, come off as flat or, you know, there are certain actors we let get away with basically playing themselves in every single film or a version of themselves. But that's clearly not what that's not what's happening in this film with this particular character. And it's so nice to see that, yes, this is my mentality. This is how I think it should be. I am not going to dismiss what you think. Here's how I think we can get us to be on the same page and see things the same way. And you will see that actually we are already basically there. This is how you get, you know, to be where you need to be. It was a gorgeous behind the scenes moment that I've seen happen on stage in play production, and very rarely do they let us see that kind of thing in film development.
And I'm hoping so. His next James Gunn's next project is a Superman family project in terms of not necessarily Superman, Supergirl, but like the world of Superman. So it's not necessarily a sequel, is what he said. It's Superman is in it with other things being possibly the main focus. So that's what I'm interested in. It's not going to be a Superman centric thing. It's just he's going to be a focal point, just not the main focal point.
And I gotta say, I'm really looking forward to that Supergirl film. That little bit at the end, as soon as I watch that, it's like, oh, I already know there's going to be the small percentage of people that are coming from where I'm coming from and know the source material and go, oh, they have no idea. But at the same time, there's going to be the people who have no idea what's coming. And just it's like, why is Supergirl drunk? And what, they're just playing it off for laughs. They're playing off her characters like, no, they really aren't. He's starting one of the darker storylines. It is so good. If it even approaches how good the comic was, I'm really looking forward to even think of doing this. When the previous Supergirl film was, let's face a witch that is not a character in the comics. We're just going to kind of make some stuff up. We just want to have somebody flying around in a blue suit and a skirt. To something like this is going to be drastically different.
What I mean, because I don't know the material. All I know is sometimes she is presented as when she left Krypton, she was already a teenager trained in the military, or she left Krypton and she was already a little bit older, but she has not yet to experience things. So this is her chance as a kid to experience things. And Brainiac is the one that killed Krypton, and Brainiac is the big bad, and Brainiac this and Brainiac that, or, you know, Darkseid's going to try to take her and corrupt her. Like, I only know certain stories from, honestly, animated things, but what is, if you think it's a direction, what do you think that direction is?
I don't want to give too much away just because I want you to kind of be able to go on the ride. I will say this. It's more like the earlier part of what you're saying. There's that kind of mistake, that sort of a thing where she was supposed to be someone different. But this is going to be based off of a storyline called Supergirl Woman of Tomorrow. It's not that old, really. It's one of the newer things to come out. It only came out in 2022. And it's, if you get a chance, they've got a graphic novel of it. You know, you don't have to collect an entire series. It's only an 8-issue arc, really. But
time travel.
Kind of. There's definitely, let's say there's a revenge element to the story that takes some dark turns. turns. it's nice. I'm looking forward to it.
Is there a like a fifth, sixth, I forget which jet, like iteration of Brainiac in it that's like good?
I'm not gonna spoil anything for you. You're just gonna have to
see. The movie's gonna be out next year anyway.
Well, so. And the other side of it is they are for sure going to change some stuff. So it's just I don't want to, you know, talking about the plot for something that's almost certainly going to be a little different in the film. It'd be kind of, I'm not going to say wasteful, but it's just for the amount of time that we're trying to keep this episode too, I could probably talk about this for another 20, 30 minutes.
We could talk about it in a year when the movie comes out.
That's right. Exactly. But, yeah, I think that's going to be bright going forward. I'm fully on board with how James Gunn approaches things. I think the Green Lantern show is going to be great if they can do it nearly this good. I'm hyped.
Creature Commandos was good.
Oh yeah.
Even though it was just like a cartoon animated, still had good story, good description of things, good characters. So
yeah, definitely. I mean, Even some other things like, and we'll probably do a review on this separately, but I've been watching through the Wakanda animated series for MCU, and it's so far been a lot of, that's okay. It's just,
yeah,
it doesn't hit the same level. So I'm hoping that soon, if this goes the way that I'm hoping it will, and MCU turns around a little bit, which it looks like it will. I really liked, we're going to review Final Fantasy. We're going to review the Fantastic Four here coming up in about a week. And I think that was a good turning point for the MCU, or at least, again, shows promise of what we can expect. So maybe we'll get to a point where instead of we'll have one group that knows what they're doing and the other one doesn't, will actually have two studios firing mostly on all cylinders. That's exciting.
Yeah, that's it was a really interesting July, because obviously those two movies were basically back to back.
Yeah.
Weird timing, but whatever. Made for a good month of movie watching.
It was one of my happier months in the movie theater. I was so excited I could ignore the fact that I was sitting on some of the crappiest seating that was ever made.
I mean, just because it hasn't been cleaned in probably 10 years, it's not that big a deal.
Yeah, I'm really hoping that they spend. I'm just saying, AMC. In Bloomington, Indiana, you please. I know it's tight budget strings, but can we have some seats that actually have some padding on them, or are not sticky? it's just something.
Yeah, I'm not holding my breath with the fact that the AC failed and the whole theater was closed for like a week.
Oh, I feel so bad for those guys. I want to support him, and I'm going to continue to support him, but at the same time, I'm going to have to go see other theaters. We cannot be exclusive. I can go down the road to Bedford. They have leather seating. I can go over to Spencer. They've got this re-renovated theater. It's only a single screen, and I can't always watch what I want, but it's beautiful in the process. I'm just going to have to go elsewhere if we can't get what we need.
And go to Greenwood and have reclining leather seats,
right,
with gigantic walkways in front of each row of chairs. So.
It's just a crazy thought. But what do you think, dear listeners? First of all, what do you think of our new format? Can you believe the episode is over already?
Done, son.
That's right. We're in and out. And it was a wham, bam. Thank you very much for listening. No, that doesn't sound right. Something to that extent. But what do you think about our new format? What did you think of the film? As always, we are on social media. And our head director of social media assures me that our presence is going to be much greater soon. We're going to have clips of episodes, and we're going to have, you know, interactions, and it'll happen.
Tenfold.
It'll happen eventually. It's coming, I swear.
Tenfold.
But we Wait, love...
10 times zero.
Yeah, still zero.
Zero,
yeah.
Okay.
But, all right. But, you know, we'll get there. And we love you. And we're happy that you listen to us. And we're going to be back again in probably a week. And we're going to be talking about the Fantastic Four. Give a little love to the Marvel side of things. But until next time, stay positive, watch some films, share some love with the people around you, help to remind them that the world is a beautiful place, or at the very least, there are some people that make some films that help you ignore the fact that the world is not a beautiful place. We'll get going.